Okay, we're going to get started. First, we have to open up with thanking Reb Tzvi and Tzvi. Mm-hmm. Tzvi Wilimowski and Tzvi Monk. It's a very interesting, you know, it is so apropos that their names are Tzvi and that they're both Kohanim because, first of all, Ratz Ketzvi, right? It has to be swift like that. And also Kohanim, Chazal say, are Zrizim him. Mm-hmm. Kohanim are Zrizim. They're very quick. Right, so it's very apropos, the Kohanim called Tzvi, and that played out this evening, because the two of them got here before anyone else was here. They were the first ones here, like a coin. Rosh v'rishon, l'chol darash shebekdusha. They were here first, when no one else was, and they really made the party. Tzvi Wilimowski with the, like always, the chicken and the coleslaw and the kugel, and, you know. Tzvi Monk with the beer, really, and they are totally selfless, like real Kohanim, real of the Hashem. It was totally lishma because they brought the stuff and they didn't taste from it at all, right? Unbelievable, wow. Totally lishma, totally shem shamayim. All right, so Ribosha should repay them tenfold. So this mimer is all in their schos. Remember, now it's going to be given after midnight because Baruch Hashem Yoni made it and brought his chulent. You know, said Kosso made his lot. Anyway, there's a lot to talk about this week's parsha, particularly as two events happened. This week's parsha coincides with Tu B'Shvat and a massive snowstorm, right? So now, one can't help but note the parallel to the mun in the parsha. If you imagine what the mun looked like, it looked like snow, and it melted. It melted if you didn't get it by before. Chama shemesh v'nomas, it melted away. Mm-hmm. Right? It's very interesting. So there's, and I think we'll definitely factor that in. That one could definitely see the snow as an allusion to mun. And we'll get back to that. So to find the connection in the parsha between Beshalach and Tu B'Shvat. So right after Kriyas Yam Suf, so it says, you know, they went 3 days without water, so which Chazal Darshan with 3 days without Torah, and then in Mora. They got some mitzvahs to learn. But it's a very interesting thing that the water that they got in Mora to drink, which Chazal say that water alludes to Torah, they were initially bitter. Then Vayoreu Hashem eitz, Hashem showed him a tree, and Moshe threw it in the water, and then the waters became sweet. The tree made the water sweet. Vayoreu Hashem eitz. A clear allusion to Tu B'Shvat, but we'll get into that deeper in just a minute after we point out another thing. All right, so what we also have in this week's parasha is the story of Milchemes Amalek. Right, so now we find the Gemara says that when Esther wanted, Megillas Esther to be added to the Tanakh, right? So they, the Sanhedrin were a little bit reticent to add it to one of the Kisvei HaKodesh, right, until they found an allusion in this week's parsha, Ksov, Zos, Zikaron, Basefer, that Chazal Darshan, that each one of those words is on another type of Milchama v'Amalek, of which referring to, Ksov, so the left room, there's enough words in the Pasuk to allude to the story of Purim, that it should be Ksov, also be, written, as part of the Tanakh, right? So there's already an allusion in this week's Parsha to, Purim, which is, with Haman. And we're going to show that this crosses over with another part of the Torah that another part of the Parsha we just mentioned, but I'm going to save it, keep you in suspense for a few minutes. Now, what's interesting in the whole story of the Megillah, right? What's part of the Vinafochu? What's Avrochu? Haman wanted, if he wants to kill all the Jews, then Vinafochu. on, you know, that the day they want to kill Jews, we kill them. Yeah, v'nafochu. But there's another v'nafochu that's a little bit less emphasized in the Megillah, but it's most definitely v'nafochu. He wanted to hang Mordechai on a tree. Eitz. And that's Lashon Yud. Doesn't say Keresh stick. Right? He wanted to hang him on an eitz. Right? And what happened, Rav, you know, King, you know, when Charbonne said, you know, he made the eitz to hang, you know, Mordechai, so King says, Tlu Olav, that the eitz that was prepared for Mordechai, Haman got hung on that eitz. Right? Now, eitz, again, coming up, you know, obviously, we would see in it a allusion to Tu B'Shvat again, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, Rosh Hashanah for trees, because that's, you know, what Tu B'Shvat is. It's, you know, it's Rosh Hashanah for trees, you know, that, you know, depending on what year the tree is in as far as Orla. It's about the tree. It's not about the fruit. It's about the tree. You know, what is the birth date of the tree? Eitz. All right. So, to try to start closing the circles, at least partially until we get back to the mud and snow, right? But start closing the circles partially. We find that the term eitz in Torah, you know, in Lashon HaKadosh, I mean to say, it has another meaning. It also means advice. It's the root of the word eitzah. Right. So what was, you know, so seemingly the root of the word eitzah is an eitz, right? What's pshat? So, you know, this week was the shloshim of my Rebbe, of Moshe Shapiro. So this is a word I heard from him also. All right, what, you know, what's pshat? Eitz and eitzah. So what's an eitzah? When you go for advice, what are you looking for? You know, I mean, you know the situation better than the consultant. Right, he only knows what you told him. What are you really looking for?
Objectivity.
Right, but, you know, but it's a little bit more. Right, he's going to give you a perspective of how to make order out of all. You're a mabulbal. You know, you have this factor, and that factor, this factor, and that factor. Right, you know the factors better than he does. But you don't know how to put them together. You know, what's more important, what's less important, how to make it shtim. No? And that's what you want from your Baal Eitzah. You know, that's the amazing thing that a tree does, Ramosha said. Right? That it takes resources from the earth, water, the air, and it takes all those factors and it makes it into fruit. It's called a constructive process of integration. Right, that all of these different factors, all these different ingredients are integrated and in a productive manner that produces fruit. Yeah, there's a waste product, and even the waste product is beneficial for the ecosystem. And, you know, the waste product is oxygen. I remember hearing a lecture from a biochemist who was a Baal Tshuva. Said, you know, well, one of the things that struck him when he learned biochemistry is that if we wanted to duplicate, you know, how one leaf produces sugar, you know, through photosynthesis, we'd have to have a massive, massive factory with a lot of waste product just to try to produce sugar ourselves. You know, what happens in a leaf with almost, you know,
wow,
right? Amazing. Like, man can't duplicate, you know, what a tree does, you know, which is a yitzir, a cup of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Idea, you know, to put the factors together with such beauty and with like such minimal waste, right? You know, that's what a tree does. It processes things. It's a process, but it's like the tree is like the most efficient process in the world, right? Almost no waste, and it pulls things together in a productive fashion. That the minerals from the earth and the water and the air come together, produce fruit. And that's what you want from a Baal Eitzah also. I got all these factors. Help me make them shtim in a positive, positive mahalach that, you know, will, you know, lead to, right, a good result. Now, ideally, right, it should have been that you could even feel the constructive steps from the get-go, ideally, right? And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. By Maisa Bereishis, he said, you know, that he wanted the earth should produce eitz pri osapri, fruit trees that make fruit. And then the Pasuk says that the earth grew eitz osapri. And so Chazal say that was the sin of the earth, that the earth sinned. It was supposed to have tam ha-eitz and the tam ha-pri. You'd have the taste of the fruit in the tree, in the wood. And the sin was that the wood doesn't taste like the fruit. So what's the pshat? So Sfarim explain, right, that there was supposed to be a much greater unity between the means and the ends, between the process and the end result. That already in the middle of the process, you can get some tam.
Interesting.
Right, and that's why most projects fail. You know why most projects fail? Because in the middle, you sort of lose direction. Right, you lose hope, you give up, because you don't have the tam ha-pri. In the middle, it tastes like wood.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. If you would be able to taste a little bit of fruit, like a little bit of fruit in the middle, you wouldn't give up. You'd keep focus. People lose their focus or lose their drive. They get lost because, you know, in mid-process, you know. All right? No, but Afal Pi Kein, the tree is the closest thing that we have, right, to the idea of an efficient process. It's not the highest level of when even in mid-process you have a little taste of the goal so you don't lose your way, you don't lose your focus, you don't lose your drive, but it's still the closest thing we have. Right? That's what it means, the waters were bitter, by Mara. Right, the waters were bitter, right? And according to the teacher of the tree, says, listen, you know, Torah initially is bitter. The waters represent the Torah. Initially, it's bitter, right? You're not going to get instant satisfaction from it. It's a process. It's like a tree. Like the tree, you know, could drink these waters, you know, and produce fruit, sweet fruit. It's a process. Am Yisrael has to be real if they want to get Torah, right? So even though Am Yisrael is thirsty for Torah, but they have to be... Understand that there's not going to be instant gratification. It's a process. You got to let that Torah, you know, learn it even when you don't feel like it, and let it just like bubble inside of you, and then all of a sudden could hit you like weeks later, months later, all of a sudden sweet, all of a sudden chidushim start popping in your head. You don't realize that those chidushim that are popping up, it's from that bitter learning that you did during the long hole during the winter's month, right? You don't realize that that's where it's coming from. You learned Torah when you didn't feel like it, right? And sat and it germinated and you like developed inside of you. And then next thing you know, all of a sudden you have chidushim coming. You know, where did these chidushim come from? From that Torah that you learned when you didn't feel like it, you know, and you took it in anyway, you let it process inside of you. I'm supposed to be aware that the Torah is a process. And then you could taste the sweetness of Torah. If you wanted like sweetness right here, right now, it won't happen. You understand that it's a process. Now, of course, the original plan was it should be sweet immediately. Wow. All right, but even so, at least if you understand that it's a process, you stick with it. You could stick with it, and then you could understand that, like it's like a long, it's like an investment, but it's more an investment. It's like a factory. You know, the finished product is yet to come. Right, and when you realize that, you know, you could reconcile yourself with your learning, and that's why Torah is called the tree. It's chaim lemachasik, but it's a process. It's a process. Torah is a process, right? And the Adam is also called Kiyodam Eitz Asoda. That's the galus of the Adam. There's between Adam and a behemoth. A behemoth is looking for right here, right now. I want result. You know, animal wants, you know, its pleasure or to avoid its pain right here, right now. Animal doesn't make cheshbonus, right, for the future. The Adam is an Eitz. That, you know, it's a process, you know. You know, the tree goes dormant, but not really. It sort of absorbs the water during the winter, and then with the water absorbed during the winter, it puts out the fruits that it puts out in the summer. It came for those waters in the winter. And that's what the Gemara says, that Tu B'Shvat already, most of the rain fell already, and Hasaraf Ole Ba'ilonus, the sap is rising. No fruit yet, but the process, you can feel that the process has begun, right? We have to be real that Torah is a process, right? And you know, and not give up in the middle. Keep focused, right? And that's what a good Eitz is. Eitz is, you know, the Baal Eitz gives you an approach, not a magic answer. He gives you an approach of how to pull the different factors that are confusing, how to set them up in a constructive mahalach. Minimal contradiction, minimal conflict of interest, you know, maximum productivity. He gives you a mahalach. Right, that's what Eitza is. Right? The right, you know, problem is that, you know, going back to the famous two trees of Gan Eden, the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra, these two trees, right? The Eitz HaChaim, Chaim is something indivisible. You're either alive or dead. There's no such as being half alive. If you're half alive, you're 100% dead. There's no such as being...
Not according to quantum mechanics.
Okay, fine.
You right. Be alive or dead.
I know, but it's only theoretical. Yeah, find me Schrodinger's not live, not dead cat. It's just the way it looks in the box, which you don't see. So forget it. It's all theoretical. The anyway, getting back to the right. You know, the Eitz HaChaim, a tree of life. So life is indivisible. Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra is about fragmentation, because so it could be it's good points, it's bad points, right? Things that are good about there, even an avera could have its good points, at least, which cause you to rationalize it, and a mitzvah could have its bad points because you didn't do it with all the kavana, right? Fragmentation, right? And because of the Adam did, it went for the Eitz HaDaas, which allows for fragmentation, because tov and ra are not absolutes. You could have a little bit of tov, a little bit of ra together, whereas you can't have chaim and mavis together. Right? So because man, that way, Chazal say that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu also punished the earth for its sin. For making trees that don't taste like the fruit. So after Adam sinned, Avura Adama Bavurecha. So some explain why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a Rashi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited to punish the earth until man would do his sin also. Right? So the Svarim explain, because the reason why the earth did its sin was because where did the earth get Bechira from? Because Adam Rishon's soul was in the earth at the time. Because it says on Yom HaShishi, Tot Se'aretz Nefesh Chaya, Zu Nafshar Adam Rishon. So that's why the earth had Bechira, because man... Right. Which also means that, but you know, that means that the head of Adam Rishon was parallel to the sin of the earth. Right? Because, you know, the Achdu, you know, aside from all the many things of the difference between Chaim and Tov and Ra, part of it is, you know, the sacrificed Achdus for fragmentation, right? You know, like the Rambam says, before he ate from the Eitz HaDaas, you know, when he was supposed to be geared toward the Eitz HaChaim, right? You know, he thought in absolute terms of emes and sheker, and emes and sheker don't coexist, right? You don't get confused if you live in a world of emes and sheker, because emes is what is, and sheker is what isn't, and so what isn't is not going to cause you to give up on what is. Right? Why? Because you understand this is real, this isn't real. Yeah, you don't lose your focus if you're thinking in absolute terms of Ezra Sheker. In Tov versus Ra.
Can you say it again?
If you live in a mentality of truth versus falsehood, you're never gonna lose your focus. Because everything that is online, right, is what is. Everything that's offline is what isn't. And I'm not gonna forego what is for what isn't. But that's if you have a emes and sheker type of mentality.
Right.
Tov v'ra, well, wait a minute, I could see the good in that.
Right.
I could see the benefits in. Or I could see the terrible, terrible thing in not letting these terrorists into America. It's not humane, right?
So I thought that Adam Rishon only sinned, only saw the world as Tov v'ra after the...
That's right, after the chait. Before the chait, he saw it as emes and sheker.
So how was he able to even do the chait to begin with then?
Okay, no, because that was sheker, except that the nachash taught him you can make the sheker real if you eat from the tree. You can make it real. He sold him on a bogus story that, you know, these things that you think aren't, eat from the tree, you can make them real. Make the fantasy real.
Wow.
That's right, that was the bogus story. So make the fantasy real. It's fantasy, it's fantasy. Right? And that's where Amalek comes in. Haman min ha-Torah minayin, says more. Hamin ha-Eitz. Did you eat from the tree? Hamin ha-Eitz. Right? Right? Did you eat from the tree? Right? Sveikus. Right? Right? Because in Tov V'Ra you have Sveikus. And the issues get confused. right? And when Am Yisrael got confused, Hashem b'kirbeinu im'oyin, that's when Amalek came. And Amalek thrives on confusion. So Amalek, so the remez is ha-mina etz, you eat from the tree, because in Tov and Ra you get confused, and Amalek is gematria suffik, right? And it all came from the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra. It came from that tree. That's what Rambam says, we're going to make an Eitz and hang him on the Eitz, referring to the Eitz Hadas. And hang him on the Eitz Hadas, right, as it were. As it were, how we're undoed, because Jews are preaching absolute truth. Absolute truth, which is the Torah, right? Which is the Eitz Hachaim Il Machazigimba. Torah is like the Eitz Hachaim. It's the Torah's Emes. Everything that's anti-Torah is Sheker. It's not Ra, it's Sheker. Right? So isn't. Yeah, but Amalek thrives on the Eitz Hadas. And right, and that's the, we want to hang Mordechai on the Eitz. Right? Pshat is Mikoch, the head of Eitz Hadas. Right? We're going to bring confusion into the world and then take away the clarity of Torah. Right, that's we're going to recall the Eitz Hadas. We're going to hang them on the Eitz Hadas. Right, what to do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't outdo him. And without getting into the depth of it, even Das Tovara ultimately is going to be clarified. Ultimately, there'll be a clarification, and it'll get back to Emes V'Sheker, which is again the tree, the process. The confusion is right now, but in the long term. We're gonna let the process, let things play out. What's true will endure, and what's false will fall out. But it's a process. You gotta hang tight. Hang tight. So even the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, ultimately, give it enough time, the Tov will be what is Mamshech, and the Ra will eventually fall out. It'll just fall out because it isn't, so it can't endure. Right? So and that's what Haman didn't realize. So they hung Haman on that tree because it's a tree. And the tree means process. And in the end, everything, the Tov endures and the Ra falls out. So even the Eitz that has Tov and Ra in it, give it enough time. Wow. The good, it's a longer process. Much longer process. Of course, the way you go through that process with Pilpul, of constantly questioning, and eventually you knock out all the falsehood, and you're left just with the Emes. And that's what it says, that Torah Shebaal Peh comes from the Eitz Hadas. Because the pilpul of Torah Shebaal Peh is all about, the Shaktah Gemara is a process that gradually eliminates all the wrong Havaminas. And just the pure truth is standing at the end. But it's a process. It's a process. Eitz, right? But Haman wants instant gratification. Right? And the confusion of Haman is up to the point that a person could be driven to suicidal tendencies. Right? Because he thinks that's, good. Like Amalek is willing to, they're like the people who drop the hot bath just to make a statement, like allowing all these terrorists into the country just to make a statement of liberal values, right? People are terribly confused. I have to say, the president is right. He says even a high school student could think this through. He said even a media, he said this a few days ago for a press conference, even a mediocre high school student could see us, think this through, that there's an issue of security, right? But these people are so confused. Das Tov V'Ra. It's rubbish. They call Tov V'Ra because they want to be kind, and they want Tov, but it's confused, and they're being kind to bad people, and there's no greater crime to society than to being kind to bad people, or people that even may hurt you. How can you, in the name of liberal values, endanger someone else? What gives you the right? And they're confused. But that's Amalek. And the confusion can even be to the point that you hurt yourself. You bring in all these illegals that will take your jobs or may even hurt you. You're confused. They are confused. They have Das Tov V'Ra. They want something good, but they're so confused. And it comes to, in the end, the Tov, like the Nefesh HaChaim says, Das Tov V'Ra means the connection of good and evil. They're adulterating Tov with Ra and Ra with Tov. Right, and they're wanting to be nice, and it's not who we are. They're being cruel to themselves and to others. Right, and that's Amalek. Right, so now here's the thing. Because of the sin of the earth, and this we're going to get back to the Mun quickly. And it says in Kisvei Ari, right, that Haman is from the Achoraim of Mun. Mun is, as it were, the positive. Haman's like the anti of Mun. He grabs his chius, he's a parasite, and he actually gets his chius from the mon. That's why the word haman, right? All right, and the word is like this. I explained to say it this. What's